Let me be the first to thank you and to welcome you to our 22nd anniversary, our 22nd graduating class. Our first class was 2000, and we're very proud of these graduates. I'm very thankful for them. Most of them have been with us for all 12 years. Some of them even started kindergarten. And so very grateful for the parents, for your faithfulness, for the students that they studied so hard, especially for the faculty, laboring diligently to teach them, and mostly for their hearts that they have a desire to please the Lord. And that's what our desire is. I'd like to have a word of prayer and begin our ceremonies. Lord Jesus, we want to give you the praise and the credit for everything done here tonight. Lord, not a book could be studied or a book taught without using a mind that you've given to us, without using a mind that you gave to us to teach with, to learn with. Lord, not a one of us would have an opportunity for heaven were it not for your graciousness to send your Son. I'm thankful that we can have a home in heaven. We can talk about it tonight at our graduation and pray. Lord, many cannot. And I'm grateful for your goodness to us. Lord, for the great staff you've given us, for the wonderful students, for the sweet parents. And Father, I pray that you'd be honored with all that's done here tonight. Encourage the parents. Encourage the students. Help them to enjoy this night of celebration. In your name we pray. Amen.
On the back of your program, there is our hymn, school hymn, A Student's Prayer. And if we could all stand together, and we're going to sing all three verses of A Student's Prayer.
On the rock of Holy Scripture, truth revealed and absolute. Oh, how vast the shores of learning! There are still uncharted seas, and they call to bold adventure those who turn from sloth and ease. But we need thy hand to guide us in the studies we pursue, and the presence of thy Spirit to illumine all we do. May the things we learn so meager never lift our hearts in pride, till in foolish self-reliance we would wander from thy side. Let them only bind us closer, Lord, to thee in whom we find very fountain, head of wisdom, light and life to our all mankind.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Pastor Pittman, Dr. Dalton, honored guests, members of the faculty and staff, family and friends, we welcome you to the graduation ceremony for the class of 2022. Thank you for honoring us with your presence. This evening is the culmination of our high school years, and it is a very special evening. I would like to thank you all for taking the time to join us. I have attended Temple Baptist School all my life, and there is no other school I would have rather attended and no other class I would have rather been a part of than the one that I am in. Classmates, each one of you made my schooling experience better than I can even express. You all make me smile each day that I see you guys, and I'm going to miss each and every one of you as we all go our separate ways. Lord willing, this fall I will be attending Pensacola Christian College in Pensacola, Florida. I believe that the Lord is calling me to serve him in the ministry, and I feel that he is calling me into education, though I'm not yet sure if that's what I will be majoring in. I'm so excited to see what the Lord has in store for me in the coming years. I would now like to take a moment to thank some people that have had a major impact on my life. Mom and Dad, I don't even know where to begin. You guys have cared so much for me despite all my faults. From the moment I was born, I have had no doubts that you guys constantly prayed for my salvation and my spiritual walk with the Lord. You constantly are showing me your love and affection in so many different ways, whether it be taking me to get a bubble tea or letting me go look into the pet store, even though that's the last place you want to be or want me to be in. Mom and Dad, in my opinion, you are the perfect examples of godly parents, and the Lord has truly blessed me to allow me to have such a wonderful family, and I just want you to know that I love you guys so very much. Next, I would like to thank my siblings. Selman and Lydia, you guys are truly the best siblings that anyone could ever ask for. You are constantly joking around and goofing off with me, and when I'm sad, you guys are always there to encourage me. You have graciously endured my craziness and still loved me even when I drove you insane. I love you guys so much, and I'm so excited to be at school with you guys once again this fall. I also would like to thank all of the church staff and school faculty. There are too many to name, but I am so thankful for each and every one of you all. You all have such a godly influence on me and have impacted me in more ways than you could ever know. To finish off, I'd like to share something that I know the Lord has been working on throughout my life, and that would be trusting him in all circumstances, no matter what. Through much of my high school career, my family and I have faced many difficulties, from just trying to get through schooling to some major health problems. But God has never let us down. No matter how hard each of the circumstances that we faced were, or how hopeless things may have seemed to be, God always had what was best in mind for us. I never had to doubt what he was doing. He is always good, and he is only good, and he wants us to cast our cares upon him. Never forget, God loves you, no matter who you are, and he will always do what's best for you because he loves you.
Amen. Now I would like to present a few awards. The first one is to a student that I had, I think in Algebra 1, maybe Algebra 2, and that was the first time that I had him. And then this year, I had the opportunity to teach him again, which I wouldn't have had it not been for Mrs. Moncheski leaving us with different classes to teach. So I ended up teaching the senior Bible class. And I had this student again, and he was one of three students that didn't have to take the final exam, just due to his consistency and his diligence. And when we were talking as faculty, going over all the names of all the students and talking about things that we could, just their all the gifts that God has given them and what they've done with those gifts, this student, when this name came up, I think it was universal that everybody said, this is the most improved award to this student. And we would like to give the most improved award to Alec Valley. The next award I would like to give actually goes to four people, and they've been with us since K-5, so I'm going to have all of them just come up and stand. I have Kebron, Jan, Michaela, and Lania, if you all just come up here. And they've been with us since K-5, and as teachers, we absolutely appreciate having people that have stuck with us. We really have, this class especially, has become like a family. And as teachers, we know this, and it's hard to see them leave, but they've been with us since K-5. Let's give them a round of applause. And the next three students, if you'll come on up, Hannah, Sophie, and Andrew. If you guys, well, you can stand there on that side. And they have been with us since K-4, and that's a long time. If we'll give them a round of applause. And the highest award that we have here at Temple is the Christian Character Award. All of this would be for naught if it weren't for Christ. And nobody loves, I think, ironically, learning as much as I do. I say ironically because when I was a child, I hated school. But I look now and I love learning, I love reading, I love just learning new things, and I love teaching, but it all has to have its purpose. And the Christian Character Award is the highest one, and this year's Christian Character Award goes to Michaela Daly. And I have one more award. I had nothing to do with the Christian Character Award, so that we're all clear here. The second Christian Character Award goes to Sophie Gustafson.
First of all, I would like to thank Pastor Pittman for his dedication to Temple Baptist Church and his influence in making Temple Baptist School what it is today. I would also like to thank Dr. Dalton for all he does at Temple. He is not only our principal, but also a friend to the students here. Next, I would like to thank my parents for their constant love and faith in me. Thank you for the sacrifices you made for me, and each sacrifice you made for me proved your love more than more. I do not deserve you. Mom, you have helped me become the young woman I am today. You are such a godly lady, and I look up to you. When you had cancer, you did not seem discouraged, and you trusted God. I would also like to thank Caroline for being such a loving sister. Even though we do not always have the same opinion, we both agree that we love each other very much. I would like to now thank all of my teachers who have taught me since my first year of school in K-5. But because it would take the rest of the night to say something about all the teachers I have had, I will simply name a few from this past school year. Thank you, Ms. Scott, for teaching me history. I always enjoyed your enthusiasm for the subject. Thank you, Mr. Williams, for teaching me English. I enjoyed the opportunity you provided us of reading books I would have never considered. You wanted us to become wiser by reading and expanding our knowledge, and we did. Thank you, Mr. G, for teaching me math and physics. Even though this year I did not always agree with the book, you helped me find a way to understand the concepts. But I still think the idea of an infinite sum minus another infinite sum should not equal infinity. You wanted the best from me, and you always were willing to help, even if it meant not eating with the other teachers during lunch. Thank you, Mom, for being the one and only Senora Daly who taught me Spanish. You are my favorite teacher, and I'm glad I had the opportunity to take a class from my mom, you. Thank you, Mr. Monteschi, for leading choir and orchestra this year, and all the other years that you've been here. I would also like to thank you for teaching me how to play the violin. Thank you, Mrs. Lund, for all you've been to me. Piano teacher, accompanist, my adopted aunt, and friend. You've taught me much, and I'm going to miss coming to my lessons, both piano and violin. Lastly, I would like to thank all the other faculty members at Temple for all they do. Everyone here has a wonderful spirit and does his job very well. Getting to work at Temple was a wonderful opportunity, and I learned much. I will miss the K-3 and K-4 kids I watched, even though they were very crazy. My time here at Temple has been memorable. I had the opportunity to visit many important places in our nation's history, including the Capitol, Gettysburg, and the Supreme Court. And I had the opportunity to visit some fun places as well, including Frying Pan Park, the zoo, and Chuck E. Cheese. I also had the opportunity to compete in fine arts competitions, which helped me to become a better musician. I'm so thankful God allowed me to attend Temple Baptist School. Though it's the only school I have ever attended, I believe it is one of the best schools in the nation because they value truth and God's word. Now, my fellow graduates, I congratulate you all on coming this far. We all made it, and we passed. I'm thankful to have had you all as my classmates. We were an interesting bunch, but I'm glad to call each and every one of you my friend. We are all attending college, so the homework and studying is not over yet, and I encourage you to keep doing your best. Do not let the finish lines being so close blind you to overlook the diligence required for the tasks of today. I also implore you to stay close to God and keep drawing closer to him. If you are with God, you will have no need to worry. Remember, always do your best, and God will do the rest. Our life is one big book, and we have only just finished a chapter with these years of schooling. Many more chapters will be written before our life is o'er, accepting the Lord come back soon. So keep your eyes on Jesus and trust him as he takes you through life step by step.
Amen. Let's pray for the graduates. Guys, remove the hats. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for bringing these students where you have, and I thank you for all of the countless quizzes and tests and things that they had prayed about all along, and you brought them through those. And Lord, I ask that moving forward, that you would be their sole desire, that as they go to college or they go to a job, that, Lord, that you would get a hold of their hearts and continue to, and that they would each one of them grow closer to you, fall in love with you, and serve you. And ask, Lord, that this graduating class, that they would continue through many years of service for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're pleased to have Dr. Jim Shuttler speak to us and the graduating class of 2022. I know many of you know him, but for those of you who don't, Jim has many great qualities. He has energy. He's personable. He's got the charisma thing down pretty good. He's funny. He's down to earth. He has the gift of teaching, but there's one thing he isn't. He isn't boring. Boring and Shuttler do not go together. It's like pastor and the word stationary. Dr. Shuttler's natural enthusiasm for the Lord, for Christian education, for young people is infectious. It's one of the reasons he keeps coming back to our church, and he's a great friend of our church and school. He's served in a variety of roles in Christian colleges at Pensacola Christian and West Coast. He's been a campus pastor, a pastor, counselor, instructor, conference speaker, camp speaker, evangelist, Bible teacher, and all those roles, all those many roles, he's embraced with a great deal of enthusiasm and energy and a love for the Lord. So, Dr. Shuttler, thank you for coming today.
Thank you, Dr. Dalton. Thank you so much. Well, let me begin by saying my words of thanks as well. And I would like to, first of all, thank Temple Baptist Church for Christian education. If you're a member of Temple Baptist Church, would you just raise your hand? You're a member of the church. I want to thank you because you know what? When you have a Christian school in your church, it can get a little messy and the stall needs to be cleaned up. But praise God for Christian education in America today. And if you're part of Temple Baptist Church, thank you. Now, I'm going to say one thing though. Christian education is not a sacrifice. Moms and dads, you might think, you know what? We sacrificed a lot for our son or daughter to go to college here. I beg to differ. Christian education is not a sacrifice. Christian education is an investment. And I will tell you, you have made one of the greatest investments in truly one of the great schools that you could have for your children. You have invested in them. And in the day and age that we live today, aren't you thankful that a godly biblical worldview was invested in them from Temple Baptist? So church, I want to thank you. I do take a moment. I want to thank Pastor as well. I want to thank Pastor for his vision for Christian education. I want to thank him for his love, his direction. And you know, you look at this graduating class, and I do feel bad for the one. I think you joined them around your ninth grade year. Is that right? That was you. Okay, you. The rest of you guys have been together for a long time together. This is the product of Temple Baptist. You want to know what Temple Baptist is like? Look at this graduating class, because this is the fruit of what they're doing. And I want to thank you, Pastor, for your guidance, your direction, and your protection. Pastor Pittman puts a lot of walls of protection around those things that he loves. And sometimes those that live inside the walls may not like those things. But it is that protection that keeps the world, the flesh, and the devil away. And every one of you ought to be thankful for a pastor that has put up guidelines and direction and walls of protection for them to have the education that they have. Then we take a moment and thank the Lord for friends. How many of you in here is a friend to one of the graduates? Okay, well, I was kind of hoping every hand would go up, but maybe not. But maybe you just walked in from Drainsville Road there. I don't know. But you know what? Friendship means a lot. And the friends and those that have come alongside these graduates have had an impact in their life. By the way, friends, don't stop praying for them and still be in their life. Encourage them along the way. Distance is going to probably be a situation. But friends, I want to thank you for the investment and the influence and the impact that you've had on these graduates. And they still need you down the road as well. And then we take a moment and we thank the Lord for the faculty. And I praise God for the faculty. You know, if you went into Christian education to teach, you didn't do it for finances. You did it for eternal rewards. You did it for fruit that remains. And faculty, I stop and thank you for the investment that you've made into these young people. By the way, I've heard a lot about this graduating class in the last 48 hours. And most of it was good. No. No, I want to say this, and I speak at a lot of graduations. All of it has been good about this class. And that says a lot, and I want to tell you, teachers, that says a lot about you and your impact and what you did. And somewhere along the line, these faculty members, maybe it was at a camp when they were a teenager, maybe it was at college, but somewhere along the line, these faculty members said, you know what, I'm going to surrender my life to God. And if you want to use me in Christian education, Lord, it's not going to be about property or possessions. It's going to be about the investment in the next generation. So faculty, I want to thank you. But then especially today, I take a moment and I want to thank all the family members here. If you are a sibling, a grandparent, or a parent of one of these graduates, stand up for just a moment. Just stand up for just a moment. And let's recognize all of them and thank all of them for the investment that they've had. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, moms and dad. Thank you, siblings. You probably did as much sharpening on their lives as anyone else as well. And that's a great thing. And moms and dads, grandparents, thank you for your investment in the lives of this. This is the fruit of what you did. So we do thank the Lord for all of these. I'm 65 years of age, so I just got my Medicare card, and it's hard to believe how old I was. When I was younger, when I said 65, I said, man, that's going to be pretty old, and I don't look at 60. I don't think of 65 as old as I used to, but throughout my life, I have learned this, and I think in the life of a believer, I trusted my Savior at age 12. So I've been saved most of my life. I've had a personal relationship with Christ. And in those years, which is over 50 years of being saved, I have learned this. There are 3 days in the life of a Christian. There are building days. And graduates, you've had a lot of building days. You've had days where God built you, invested in you. And did things, and it was like, you know what? That was a day of achievement, of building in your own life. And then, in the life of every Christian, there are battling days. There are days you just fight. You just feel like, boy, today was a struggle today. But I want to tell you, they don't happen often. High school graduation is one of them. There are building days. There are battling days. But once in a while, there are banner days. This is a banner day. This is a day that we reflect, we remember, and we thank God for what He has done. Because nobody's graduating today except it be by the grace of God. And it was what God has done. And we have these banner days that we get to these mile markers and we say, oh God, you're the one who did this. This is another mile marker, a memorial day as well, a banner day. So, I've entitled my message this evening, Abraham's Graduation Day from the School of Faith. Abraham's Graduation Day from the School of Faith. If you happen to have a copy of the scriptures, I'd encourage you to turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Now, Abraham went to school for over 120 years. Now, for some of you graduates this evening, you may think, it seems like it's been 120 years. But for most of you, it's been about 12 years. But Abraham's graduation day from the School of Faith took 120 years. Now, we're going to look at Genesis 22. But before we get there, I want to read one verse in James chapter 2. And verse 23, the Bible says in James 2:21, was not Abraham our father, now listen very carefully to this, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar. Well, Abraham wasn't justified by offering Isaac in chapter 22. Abraham was justified by faith in Genesis chapter 15. And in Genesis 15, the Bible says, and it's reiterated in the book of Romans chapter 4, that Abraham believed God and it was counted for him as righteousness. He was justified by faith alone. But Brother Shetler, you just read a verse that said that Abraham was justified by faith. Well, let me tell you. That was his graduation day from the school of faith. In Genesis 22, we see that Abraham graduates from the school of faith, and God gives him his diploma, and his diploma of trusting in God alone. So now, let's look at Genesis chapter 22, and I begin reading at verse 1. We'll look at verses 1, 2, and 3, and then I want you to jump over to verses 10, 11, and 12. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. And it came to pass, after these things, and oh boy, a lot of things have happened in Abraham's life when that happened, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son. Here's your final exam. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. That is the first time the word love is mentioned in the Bible. Whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and went to college. Oh, excuse me. And saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering. Now let's look over at verse number 10. So God has challenged him with the step of faith in the school of faith to be willing to sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, now, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know. Now, that's an amazing statement from a God who's omniscient, is it not? So why does he say, now I know? You know, Abraham, you started believing in me in chapter 15. Graduates, you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe back in elementary school, maybe in kindergarten, maybe it was junior high, maybe it was high school. You put your faith in Christ, but notice what he says. Now I see your faith. Oh, you had faith. You were saved. You were righteous. He believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. But you know, Abraham, you've kind of done this whole thing on your own this whole time. We would not know that you're saved because we just haven't seen your faith, Abraham. Oh, you got saved back in Genesis 15. But now I see your faith. Now I realize that God, you are the one I'm going to trust in to the point where I'm willing to give my son. So he says, now I know that thou fearest God. I think that's when he graduated. He got his diploma in faith. Seeing, and that's what it's about. Now I see. And now I'm going to tell you something, graduates. All of these people in this room have invested in you. And now it's time for us to see the investment that has been made in your life, that you begin to live by faith. Thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now, I had 11 points to this message. But I realized that wasn't happening. So I picked out three on the school of faith from Abraham that I want to share with you tonight. Father, I pray for the graduates of Temple Baptist tonight. And I pray, Father, I know, Lord, people say they never remember commencement addresses. And Lord, I could care less if they ever remembered, hey, who spoke at our graduation? I could care less. But Father, may the three truths from the school of faith that Abraham learned, may these graduates and everyone in this auditorium leave with tonight that will help them the rest of their life. So Lord, I do pray that you will take this message from your word and use it not only in the graduate's life, but in every one of our lives tonight. Thank you for these observations. And Lord, I know I'm still going to school. I know I'm still in the school of faith. And Lord, these truths have helped me along the way. May they help these graduates and all of us that are in here. We pray these things in the name of the one who's made tonight possible. In the name of the one who died for our sins, was buried and rose again. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And God's people said, first thing I want you to see about the school, there will be tests the whole time you are in this school. There will never be a time when you're in the school of faith where there will not be tests, graduates. By the way, think about that for just a moment. You didn't have 1 year. I remember my fourth grade year. We didn't have any tests our fourth grade year. We went through the whole year, fourth grade, and fourth grade. Wow, what a fun year that was. We never had a test. No, you didn't have a year like that. Even in kindergarten, you had tests. In every class you took, you had tests. And I want to tell you something. Tests don't stop tonight. Tests don't stop in the school of faith. There will be tests the whole time you're in the school of faith. Look at verse number one. And it came to pass after these things that God did test. And here's the word I love that the King James translators use in some other passages. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse number 1. There is a queen who comes to see this man named Solomon. She is called the Queen of Sheba. And she has heard all of these things about Solomon. And it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 1 that she came, listen, to prove him. The word prove in 2 Chronicles 9:1 is the same word for tempt here. She came, I want to find out about this Solomon guy. What does he really know? And is that not what the purpose of tests are? It's not the purpose of tests to find out where we are and where we're weak and where we got to go and what we got to test in. Those never end in our life. And Abraham at age over 120 is still being tested. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, there is therefore now no temptation, no trial that's taken you, but such is as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested, to be tried above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. Graduates, there will never come a time in your life that God will test you in an area that you can't see victory in that area. Now, he will test us to see, are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust me? There are a few things about tests that I have found that I like. Number one, if you're being tested, you know you're still in school. One thing you know about school, if I'm in school, I'm going to get tested. And my friend, in the school of faith, you will be tested all your life. Number two, when you get tested, it means he's not done with you. I'm 65, graduates, and he's still testing me in my life. Financially, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, health-wise, there are things that I'm being tested in my life right now that I didn't have when I was your age. I had different tests, But there's always been tests. And graduates, you're never going to go through this life without tests. That means he's not done with you yet. You haven't apprehended. You haven't arrived because you're a high school graduate. And number three, tests are not about what you achieve. The test of God is about what you become out of that test. It's not about what you achieve. It's about what you become. Now, I want to tell you one of my favorite stories. It's not a true story, but it's one of my favorite stories. There was a guy that was sleeping one night in his bedroom, and in the middle of the night, the Lord appeared to him. Came right in the bedroom, and he woke the guy up, and the guy goes, "Who are you?" "I am the Lord. Tomorrow morning, there will be a rock, a boulder outside of your door. Push it." And the Lord was gone. The guy went, "What in the world was that? Wow, is that a bad dream? What in the world?" He goes back to sleep. Next morning, he wakes up. He gets a shower. He gets his breakfast. He goes off to work. He opens the door, and there it is. It's huge. It's a rock. "That was you, God. Oh, my. God's going to give me the strength to push that? That is a huge boulder." And he got down, and he went over to that rock, and he started pushing. "Lord, come on now. Lord, you told me to push the rock." It didn't budge. It didn't move at all. I mean, he just pushed and pushed. Man, he goes in for lunch. Oh, man, that was tough. He gets a lunch, goes back out. Oh, it's still there. He pushes all afternoon. He comes in that night. He is so sore. He goes to bed that night. He wakes up the next morning. Oh. He gets a shower. He gets breakfast. He opens the door. Oh, it's still there. He goes out. He pushes against that stupid rock all day. Graduates, he pushed against it all week. Graduates, he pushed against it another week. And weeks turned to a few months. And this guy has been pushing against this rock for 3 months, and it hasn't moved a centimeter. He's out there pushing after 3 months, and he says, "God, that's it. This is the stupidest thing in the world. I'm done with it. God, I'm not pushing against it anymore." And the Lord appeared. And the Lord said, "Go in the house." And the guy went in the house. And the Lord said, "Go in the bathroom." Guy goes in the bathroom. Lord says, "Look in the mirror." Guy looks in the mirror. Lord says, "Look at your neck." He didn't have one. It was just muscle. It was just a muscle. Lord says, "Look at your arms." They were huge. Lord says, "Look at your legs. They were like tree stumps." Lord said, "I didn't tell you to move the rock. I told you to push against the rock." Now, you hear me. The test that God puts in our life isn't about what you achieve in life. This is a very smart class, a very talented class, I was told. By the way, that violin trio, you could have a graduating class of 500 seniors and not get a violin trio like we just heard tonight. They've got abilities. They've got talents. They have academics. Most of them have some looks. But I want to tell you something, gang. Life is not about what you achieve. Life is about what you become. And God put tests of faith in our life. I have pushed against things in my life that have never moved, but have changed me in what I am tonight. And I want to tell you, there will be tests the whole time you're in the school of faith. Abraham's 120, but he still was still pushing, and God still gave him tests. Number two, I want you to hear this one. This is the profound point of the message, okay? So this is the one you got to get. Your most difficult test will always be about your priorities. Your most difficult test in life will always be about your priorities. Now, you'll be tested in different areas in your life. There'll be, okay, you'll have financial tests and you'll da-da-da-da. You'll have all kinds of tests. But the most difficult test in your life will always be about the things that you regard as the most important in your life. And here's why. The first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. There will never be anything that your God will allow you to take place of him. Therefore, the priority battles, the priority test are the most important test you will ever take in your entire life. What did he say? And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. I want to tell you this, graduates, because this is really big. And I've said this for the third time. I'm going to say it one more time, probably the last time. I really have heard a lot of great things about you eight. And I've heard that not only is this a good class, this is a godly class. But I want to tell you something. The rest of your life will be dependent on this point. You will be tested about what is going to be number one in your life. What is going to be the priority of your life? The longer I live, the more I am convinced that it is all about testing us in what we say that we love. Now, I want to ask y'all a question. I want everyone to answer. Is it wrong for a father to love his son? No. It is not wrong for Abraham to love Isaac. This isn't about possessions. This is about priorities. And God said, Abraham, take that son whom thou lovest and be willing to give it over to me. So whether it's music, whether it's sports or soccer, doesn't matter what it is. Is it wrong to love soccer? Is it wrong to love violin? Is it wrong to love math or science? Is it wrong to love somebody he may bring into your life? There may be a boyfriend, a girlfriend down the road. Is it wrong to love them? No. But the test of faith will be, will you take that which you love and put it on the altar to make sure that God is always first in your life? And that's what he's being tested on. God isn't saying, I want you to stop loving Isaac. No. Isaac's your son. You're going to love Isaac. I gave you that talent to play the violin. I gave you that ability to speak. I gave you that ability to kick a ball. I gave you that talent. I don't have a problem. God's not going, you can't do that. God is saying, is it more important than me? And I want to tell you something, graduates. In my life, the most difficult test I have ever faced have been the test of priorities in my life. I've been the kind of guy that wants to do everything. And God has said, what is going to be your number one priority? Am I on there? Am I going to be the number one? Or is it going to be something else? Now, graduates, you could have got a lot better graduation speakers. But I believe this with all my heart. You'll never hear at a graduation a more important statement than the most important test in your life will always be your priorities. Will you keep God number one in your life? Will you say, God, no person, no thing, no subject, no position, no possession will ever be more to me than you, God? And you'll be tested in that area. I was a senior in college, and I was dating the most beautiful girl on campus. I was way out of my league. And you know what? Mary Lee became way more important to me than God did. And God took Mary Lee out of my life for 9 months. And I surrendered Mary Lee over to God, and I thought, I'll never see her again. I'll never date her again, and our relationship is over. And God brought Mary Lee back into my life. We've been married for 43 years, and I believe this. I would have never married that woman, and we would have never have had the marriage that we've had if I didn't surrender that which I loved over to God. God gave it back to me, but now it was completely different. And I just want to tell you, graduates, the most difficult test of your life will always be priority test. I wrote this today in the hotel, and I liked it, so I'm just going to tell it to you. It will be a test about his lordship over your stewardship to develop your relationship. God will test you about, will I be your Lord? And it'll be about an area that he's given you in stewardship. And the reason why he wants you to do this is for that relationship with him. Because God's will always be a relationship with him. Priorities equal the loves of your life. Make sure they're always on the altar. And number three, and it's really quick, the teacher of this school of faith will always love you. This teacher of this school of faith will always love you. You'll never, what if I fail a test? Do I get kicked out of this school? No. This teacher's never going to let you go. You're going to say goodbye to some of these faculty members today. You're going to say goodbye to them. And they won't be, by the way, they still want to be in your life, though. They still do, but they won't be there all the time. But I want to tell you about this teacher of the school of faith. He will always love you. He will never let you go. He'll never stop testing you. He'll never stop picking you up. Brother Scheller, what happens when you fail? This teacher will come by and mentor, love you, and God will always be there. He will never give up on you. He has his best for you, and he wants fellowship with you. Graduates, Abraham was 120 years old before he graduated from the school of faith. And I want to tell you, your life will be a school of faith. Will you be willing to trust God? And I'll tell you the other thing as we close in prayer. I love this part of the story. God told Abraham, Abraham, go to Moriah with your son to sacrifice. And when you get to Moriah, I will show you what mountain to sacrifice your son on. You know what that tells me, graduates? God doesn't reveal everything to us at once. God reveals it step by step. You just take the step that God wants you to take this summer, and God will show you the next step. When you get to Moriah, God will show you the right mountain to be on. You just take the right step this summer. Would to God that none of you fall away from your faith your first summer after graduating from Temple. You take the right steps this summer and allow God to be Jehovah Jireh, and he will provide for you as well. Let's do something. You guys have been sitting for a long time and listened great. Let's all just real quickly, and I know Brother Gusterson has already done this, but could we just take a moment and dedicate these eight lives to the Lord, and that they would keep God as the priority of their life, and that young people, and I was even thinking about having an invitation. You have that invitation in your heart right now. And graduates, can I encourage you? Would you join me in a prayer for your lives? And by the way, pray for each other during this prayer. And say, dear God, may Christ always be the number one thing in my life. May I seek always first the kingdom of God. May he be the one. Lord, don't take tests out of my life. And Lord, may I take my step of faith that you want us to. Let's all stand for just a moment. And let's ask God to take these eight incredible lives, because they're about to really enter the school of faith. Father, I thank you for the examples we have from the scriptures. And even a 120-year-old man can teach 18-year-olds some things. And Father, I thank you for Abraham. And I thank you that he was an example, and that he finally got it together and showed his faith towards you by the willingness to sacrifice that which he loved. And Father, you didn't even take it from him. You just wanted to see, am I the priority? Now, Lord, I pray for these eight lives. And Lord, I don't know when my paths will ever cross with them. It may not be till the judgment seat that I'll ever see these 8 students again. But Lord, may we hear that the graduates of Temple Baptist in the class of 2022 was a class that was tested throughout their life, and that, Father, they always made you as the priority of their life. That nothing and no one they ever loved more than they loved you. And Lord, I believe if that's true, there's no telling how you're going to use these graduates, where they're going to end up, and what's going to happen. I thank you for the grandparents, the parents, the siblings, the friends, the faculty. I thank you for a church that has biblical direction to it. But in Jesus' name, we thank you for what you have done by your grace in the life of these graduates. And dear God, may they not leave the faith that they got at Temple Baptist School. I pray, Father, keep them close to you, and may they always make you their number one priority. And Father, we'll have another banner day at the judgment seat. If these young people do that, they will be so glad they did. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. All may be seated.
Thank you, Brother Shetler. At this time, we'll ask the graduates to please rise. We have a little piece of paper for you.
Kebron DeWitt Assefa. Kehum Alec Bally. Jan Garrett Barreto Caballeros. Michaela Joyce Daly. Hannah Elaine Durham. Sophia Annalise Gustafson. Andrew Kyle Lawrence. Lania Natasha Stewart.
That's the best speech we've heard all night. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the class of 2022. We're going to close in prayer, and then we'll have the graduates and the recessional. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for this evening. What a wonderful evening it's been. We thank you for these young lives that are so precious to all of us. Thank you that they're able to get their diplomas in such an honorable way. Thank you for how they've conducted themselves honorably. We ask your richest blessing on them as they go forth, and we ask your blessing on their families. Thank you so much for a great year. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.